जय अंग स्वभाव परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हर शील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय मित्रिणा प्रवेश ओम स्वभाव परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्री सिद्धांत सरस्वती हर शील प्रभुपाद की जय। आनंदमढ़ी वैष्णव वृंद की जय। महाजय श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की नंदी देवी की समवेद भक्त वृंद की गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबली बॉडी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु अंग श्री गौरा ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमो शिवाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य आदेश धारिणे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 संसार सागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीतांगं मा उद्धर भवान् अवाम् श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकरोति मया नाथ मुद्यतं भवसागरे मनोरथेव मीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोः समजायते तथा पुरुषदेवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वभावप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य दोन्वया इतरदर्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिगमे मुह्यं दियल् सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो वृषा धाम्ना श्येन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झिरकैतवोत्रमनमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोर्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम्वाभरैश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवयुद्यनेत्रगुदि शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोगलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रव संयुतं भागवतं न समालयं मुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं ब्रह्मजन्दम् अनुवेदम् अभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायणो विरहनादनमाजुभाव पुत्रेदि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिर्मानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावम् अखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिदिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासशून्यम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीय किशोर बुद्धमूर्ति कलवेणुकुलिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भला मुरारे मधुरेण कनिकापि कापि कापि
ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे नविशेष शून्यवादी पाशाचारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दप्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टः यासां हरिकरोगीरं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदयी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमङ्गहासं वातालयेशमनिशं कूजयं वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारः वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म भासदं पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
We saw last Sunday two verses in chapter 10, verse number 8 and 9. That's what we're talking about. All the verses in this 10th chapter has a lot to talk about because in these verses from now on, what Krishna is going to say is, when a person realizes the truth, what happens to him? How that realization affects that person, and the change what's happening in a person after realization. So you can see when you go through these verses, you'll find something very interesting that the symptoms of a realized soul in respect to consciousness. How the consciousness has changed in someone who has realized the truth. And externally everything looks same, but inside everything has changed. Outside everything looks the same, but inside everything has changed. That's what Krishna is trying to start that topic now. That's why he first spoke about the soul in relationship with that. The soul's position, what is that? Soul's position is important to understand. He says here, Vilakshana Stula Sushman, that's how he begins that word. Dehad Almechida Sodrak Yadatmir Dharuno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashagaha. Verse number 8. Vilakshana Stula Sushman Dehad Almechida Sodrak. That Ichidav and Sodrak, these are two things related to the soul. What do they mean by that? Ichidav means one who is seeing everything. One who is seeing everything. So, inside us, Krishna is present and he is seeing everything through our senses. That's what it means. Through the senses, he is seeing everything. Therefore, his name is called Ichida. Ichida means who is observing, who is seeing things and everything what's going around. Then, Dehad Almechida Sodrak. Sodrak means one who is experiencing everything. One who is experiencing everything. So Ichidava and Sodrak, both both are the characteristics of the soul. Soul has these two things, inside he is situated and he is observing everything. He is seeing everything through the senses. After all, we say we seeing, but what is that we are talking about? We are talking about, I am seeing. Mostly we refer to our own body and refer to that. Oh, I am seeing this, I am seeing that. But the real seer is inside, who is seeing it. And not only that, he sees that, he experiences of what he has seen as well. These two things, qualities, is not ours. It's coming from Krishna. It's not our quality. We don't have it with us. It's happened to us. Why? Because he is present there. This is how Krishna is dragging us to this important realization that without the soul, all this world doesn't exist, the experience don't exist, nothing exists in the absence of the soul. Vilakshana sthula sushmal dehad atmechida sodra yad agnir daruno dahyo daha gonya prakashagaha. That agni, how it burns in a wood and takes a shape and engages everything, every activity, and eventually it extinguishes itself. The agni, fire goes away. The fire goes away. Along with that, the firewood also turns into ashes. Similarly, Krishna says that the soul comes in, does for some time, it stays in that body, like our body, all of us, and it stays there and it does a lot of things. And at that time, we have mistaken everything, thinking that I'm different, I have nothing to do with the soul, I am separate, I'm so independent. And we act in that illusion for a certain time in this world, and eventually when the soul withdraws, the whole thing goes away. Exactly like the wood, it turns into ashes and goes. So, yada agnir dhairuno dahyo dahagonya prakashagaha. Krishna says, exactly like the agni, a fire, it does the same job here. So, while coming to this point, Krishna talked to us a few things prior to that. This realization comes later, that how this happens. But it is because of that, that Krishna was talking. Krishna gives the example in such a way that you can see these examples are so accurate. Like when he spoke about the spiritual master, he said that madabhityam gurim shandam upasita madam. That was his definition of the spiritual master. Madabhityam, first thing. Gurim shandam upasita madam. If it's not like that, Krishna says that spiritual master cannot help. So therefore, why he was saying that was that he has to be totally established in the truth. Totally established in the truth. There is a reason for saying all these things. It's not something Krishna speaks without any logic behind it. He says that he has to be totally established in the truth. In other words, if he has a little bit of extra attraction to anything in this external world, if he has a little bit of attraction to anything in the external world, then he has fallen from that position. In other words, in the realized state, they enjoy spiritual life, they enjoy in a different plane altogether. That's what he's saying there. That that he is enjoying, he is experiencing the joy of realization, self-realization, and he's on a different platform altogether. The moment he finds any attraction in this world, doesn't matter what it is, immediately he has fallen from that position. Because matter cannot be an attraction for the soul. Matter cannot, for a realized soul particularly, matter is not an attraction for them. So this is the position of the spiritual master. This is the position of the spiritual master. So therefore, Krishna puts a restriction there. Krishna puts this restriction on that spiritual master, who is realized like this, that he will not expect anything from anyone. Especially the disciples, he doesn't expect anything from them. If he is expecting anything, that means he has attraction for the world outside. This is the principle behind it. If he is attracted by anything in this world, or if he wants anything from anyone, for that matter, then it has to be understood that he is not totally established in the truth. He has fallen from that position. So that is why Krishna was saying there that except spiritual knowledge, spiritual realization, one should not take shelter of anything else. One should not take shelter of anything else. And see, this is as far as the spiritual master is concerned. What about the disciple? Disciple's position is equally the same thing. The disciple situation is like this, that if he goes to spiritual master, with any other material motive, then he is not a disciple either. His approach, his relationship with the spiritual master has to be purely on a spiritual platform. In other words, in his heart, inside, there should be only one thought, one and only one thought that should be always working. What is that? I want to realize the truth. I want to get out of this material existence. So if the disciple is in that consciousness and the spiritual master is in this consciousness, and if they meet together, there will be fire. Otherwise not. So you can compare all these things in the modern world, how these things have been changed in different ways. If the spiritual master has any attraction for the material world, and if he is expecting many things from the disciples, he doesn't expect anything from anybody. What to talk about the disciples particularly, doesn't have any expectations. Because if he has any expectations, then he cannot deliver him, the disciple. He cannot deliver the disciple. He's not on the platform of the realized state. We'll tell you why it is like that. Later on in the next 2-3 verses, Krishna will explain why it is like that. This relationship is like that. There is no business between the spiritual master and the disciple. In the modern world, you find spiritual master and disciples are doing business together. Even that's happening. What can you do? This is how things can get changed. And we get victimized by all these things. So therefore, Bhagavatam, Krishna, knowing very well that all these things can happen, and disciples are also expecting so many things on a material platform from the spiritual master, all these things will lead into difficulties. This will not help spiritual life. What it shows is that neither of them have the real motive of spiritual realization. This is what he's showing that. Where you find a material transaction happening between the spiritual master and the disciple, it means only one thing, that they are not after self-realization, neither the spiritual master nor the disciple. Because this relationship is such a sublime relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, it has to have that higher status in all time, at all times. Spiritual master is only concerned about transmitting the truth to the heart of the disciple. The disciple has such an intense desire in him that he is failing inside, burning from the fire of material. I want to escape from here, from material life. I want to get out of this material world. These strong thoughts inside combined with that intensity to know the truth. When this is there, the disciple is perfect. The disciple is perfect. So you can see how these things, when it is defined in the Shastram in one way, over a period of time, in due course, how things can get distorted and how we adjust things, and therefore the results also won't come from that. This is the difficulty, that the results will not come. So here, you will see there, if the spiritual master has no external attraction, if a disciple meets such a person and if he imitates him in that way, it will do a lot of good for him. He will become perfect in due course, because the same qualities will get transferred to him. But if spiritual master has a lot of attraction for material world, what will happen to the disciple? He will have 10 times more attraction to the material world than the spiritual master has. So where will any realization will come from? No realization will come from that relationship. No realization will come from that. Krishna is warning us that vilakshana sthula sushmal dehad almechida aswadret, that yathagnir daruno dahyo dahagonya prakashagaha, that this realization, Krishna says, won't come unless they are situated in that platform, both of them, both the spiritual master as well as the disciple. Because the disciple should not be looking for anything else. He has only one and one thing only. What is that? To realize the truth. He wants to escape from here. Having realized the material existence and the miseries are associated with that, he is thinking that, how can I get out of this? And he wants to find the truth. Therefore, he approaches the spiritual master. Spiritual master, on the other hand, he, because of his desire to deliver the surrendered soul to him properly, he also has only one goal. That is, without any expectations, to take him up from that condition, from that situation. So therefore it is said, a disciple can imitate such a spiritual master who is on that platform. See, Krishna, Ramachandra and all, you can't imitate. because they can act in so many different things, so many different ways they have acted in this world, which is beyond our proper understanding even. Activities what Krishna and Ramachandra, but realized souls like them, you can imitate them. It won't do any damage, because if you imitate them, it will only elevate your position. For example, if you have a spiritual master who is realized and who knows the truth, eventually you will also go on to the in the same road. It won't stay as imitation for a long time, because he has no external attraction. Automatically, your attraction for the external world will also go in due course. This is the benefit of that. Krishna, Ramachandra, they are Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot think of anything about them. There is no question of imitation. Krishna has done many things. Ramachandra has done many things. They are Supreme Personality. They can do many things. That we will see later. But here, in a spiritual master-disciple relationship, this is very, very important. Then, so in such a disciple also, Krishna is saying, if there is one quality in him which is very, very strong, what is that quality? This intent, desire to know the truth. If that is in him very strongly, then even if the other qualities what were mentioned before, which were those qualities, if you remember, we spoke about that in the earlier verses. We're talking about that. Krishna said there that Amani Amalsaro Daksho Nurmamo Dradasauhradaha Asatvaro Artadinyasu Anasuyo Amokhava. About 9 qualities we discussed before for a disciple, isn't it? Krishna mentions that. Amani Amalsaro Daksho Nurmama Dradasauhradaha. Asatvaram, Artajinyasu, Anasoyu, Anokhava. These are the 9 things. We spoke about that before. So even if those 9 qualities is not up to the mark, is not there, if this fire is inside, what Krishna is talking about is this fire, burning fire, intense fire inside, that I want to get to know the truth. I want inquiring, seeking the truth. That is what disciple means, isn't it? He's seeking after the truth. And if the seeker is intensely seeking, and he has that intense desire to escape from this material existence, because having realized the miseries of the material world, then that quality will take him. That is more than important, Krishna says there. So why is it said like that? Because you will see that in many prayers written by the great devotees and acharyas, they were only asking one thing to Krishna, that what is that samsara dukkham, material existence, the distress from the material life. Vilavandaram said like this, Krishna Ganam, if you look, you'll find there. He Gobalaga, He Kripa Jalanidhi, He Sindhu Kanyapade, He Kamsandaga, He Gajendra Garuna Parina, He Madhava. He Ramanuja, He Jagatraya Guru, He Pundarikaksha, Samsara Dukkha Jahana Jagadisha Raksha. Vilavandaram addressed Krishna in many names, with many names. Gopalaka, Kripajalanite, Esindu Kanyavade, Kamsandaga, Gajendra Karuna, Madhava, Ramanuja, Jagatraya Guru. All addresses in first three lines, Vilavangaram addressed in this way, in different ways he addressed Krishna. And at the end he says, Samsara Dukkha Dahanal, Jagadisha Raksha. That I am burning in this fire of material existence, please shelter me, please give me protection, please save me from this material life. In this way, Vilamangalam prayed to him, Krishna. Why did he? Because so eventually it all comes down to this one thing, that how to free yourself from this intense, if this mood is inside, then if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam with that mood, it will give a lot of benefit to the person. Whoever is hearing, he will get benefited by that. But this mood has to be inside, that I am going through this distressful situation in this material life. Then, so therefore, generally, they give examples in different ways to make this point more clear. Suppose a fire is burning. A fire is burning. And you bring camphor and keep it close to the fire. What will happen? The camphor will burn, isn't it? Immediately camphor will burn. It will catch fire like this. So, instead of camphor, if you bring some other material, something like a wood which is very wet, or some leaves which is very green and which is rain has fallen and it's very wet, any wet substance, you bring it and keep it next to the wood, next to the fire, it won't catch fire, would it? It won't catch fire. It will stay like this, and this spiritual master and the disciple relationship is in the same way. If the spiritual master is a realized soul and the disciple is like camphor, it will catch fire straight away. Otherwise it won't catch fire. You can go on for months and months and years, that relationship won't bring any result from that. It won't have any impact from that. This is Krishna's opinion about that. So you can see here that everything depends on the disciple's maturity also. How much mature the disciple is, having understood, having, he has to prepare himself for receiving this message from the spiritual master. And there also in the Bhagavatam, if you look these things very carefully, you will see there that Parikshit Maharaj, what was his greatest quality? It was this quality in him that has saved him, actually. This one quality. You see? That in 1 second he realized when the Sringi, the Brahmana boy, cursed him that from 7 days from now, Takshaka will bite you and you will have to leave this body. This was the curse which was given by Sringi to Parikshit, right? So Parikshit at that time thought, what is the use of this throne? What is the use of this empire? What's the use of all this palace and all the other comforts what I have got? All this can go, I can lose all these things just because a 10-year-old Brahmana boy has put his tongue out and said something. The whole thing is gone. Immediately he realized the value of everything. We give a lot of importance to all these things, isn't it? All these material world, whatever we possess or whatever we are taking ownership, and we think that these things will protect me, that will protect me. But Parikshit was so intelligent that when you should look at the words what Parikshit has spoken at that time in the first canto, when he was walking back from the ashram back to the palace after taking the snake and putting it at the throat of the Sringi's father, Shamiga Rishi, and he was thinking that what have I done? I'm going to lose everything in 1 second because this Brahmana boy who is only 8 or 10 years old, he has spoken that in 7 days time everything will be gone. And that woke up Parikshit. To that point, immediately he realized there is no point in hanging around here in the palace. What's the palace worth for? If I can lose all these things just because a Brahmana boy has spoken for a few words, how powerful that words were. That's why in the Ekadashi first canto you will see his words. Krishnangrisevam adhimanyamanam upavishal prayamamartyanadhyam. First canto in the 19th chapter, you will find this. Krishnangrisevam adhimanyamanam upavishal prayamamartyanadhyam. That for me, now Krishna, he says, up to this point he hasn't spoken this, but now he is saying, for me now, there's only one thing I want to experience. What is that? Krishna. I want to experience Krishna, he says. Krishna anubhavam, or experiencing Krishna, is the only thing that is important for me. You will also notice another interesting thing here. Parikshit never went looking for a spiritual master at that time. Because Parikshit was so matured to receive the message, Krishna sends a spiritual master to him. That's how in the Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami walks in, isn't it? Sudeva Goswami's arrival on the scene is that Parikshit didn't go looking for him. He came to him, to Parikshit, to take him away from the... And that you have to look in the first canto and the last canto. You have to together join together and start reading that. Then you will see how that relationship in 7 days' time, Parikshit Maharaj was able to, in 7 days' time, Parikshit Maharaj was able to realize the truth. Able to realize the truth. So it is possible. Srimad Bhagavatam is talking to us these things. What is required is with seriousness, what is expected from us, which we haven't had yet. So, Krishnanga Sevam Adhimanyamanam Upavishal Prayam Amartyanadhyam.
Upavishal Prayam
Amartyanadhyam. That how do, Amartya means one who does not have any death. How do I escape from this situation to the situation of deathlessness? How can I get there? So, at that time, Sudeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him, and eventually, if you see the response from Parikshit at that time, that he spoke to him about the truth, like he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam throughout 7 days, and at the end he says, Siddhosmi Anugrihidosmi. This is what Bhagavatam, when Parikshit, the joy of self-realization coming in him. And he says to, Parikshit Maharaj says to Sudeva Goswami, Siddhosmi Anugrihidosmi. I am perfect now. I am realized the truth that all these things, I didn't have this realization, but the joy of spiritual realization was coming out so freely from Parikshit that he had to say this to Sudeva Goswami. And equally, Sudeva Goswami was satisfied that the person whom his time he has spent for 7 days was worth the while. It was not a waste of time. That was Sudeva Goswami's satisfaction. Parikshit's satisfaction was Siddhosmi Anugrihidosmi. In the 12th canto, you can read these things. That I have found out. I found out what the truth is. That realizing happiness from the realization. Then, so he says here, a person who is preparing for the death. Preparing in the sense, death is fast approaching. If you offer him anything, any nice prasadam, would that give him any happiness? Would he enjoy it? He wouldn't enjoy that. If you give him first class wheat rice, nicely done, first class milk and first class preparation, everything done well and given to him, will that be of any interest to him? Krishna will mention that later. How does he mention that? At the end of this Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will say to Uddhava, it is like this.
Naidat vidnyaya jityaso jnatavyam avashishyate.
If this knowledge what I have given to you, to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava,
naidat vidnyaya jityaso,
for a jityaso who is inquiring after the truth, he has nothing more to know after this. After you have understood this, what Krishna has spoken so far and what is going to speak now on, if you have got it, Krishna says,
naidat vidnyaya jityaso jityaso jnatavyam navashishyate.
Jnatavyam navashishyate, there is nothing more to know after that. So Krishna says this is the end of knowledge. There is nothing more to know after that. Ekadasha skandam is the end of knowledge in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna says there,
naidat vidnyaya jityaso jnatavyam navashishyate.
Uddhava, there is nothing more to know after this. How? He says,
pitva piyusham amritam padavyam navashishyate.
Just like somebody who has drunk nectar. We have not drunk nectar, so we don't know what it's like. But Krishna knows what is nectar. We don't know what nectar is. We only know 7-Up and Limca and all these kind of things. So what Krishna is saying here is,
pitva piyusham amritam padavyam navashishyate.
One who has drunk the nectar, he won't be satisfied with if you offer him any of the squash or soft drinks from this world. He won't be interested in that, would he? Because he has drunk something better than all these things. So Krishna similarly is comparing, Krishna compares that with this.
Pitva piyusham amritam padavyam navashishyate.
One who has drunk amritam, nectar, he would have no interest in drinking anything else. Exactly like that, Krishna says that in the
naidat vidnyaya jityaso jnatavyam navashishyate.
After realizing this knowledge, what Krishna has given to Uddhava, Krishna says there is nothing more to be known after that. Because if you have got what you have to get at the end, then there is no more curiosity to find something else after that. This spiritual knowledge, that is the beauty of spiritual knowledge. Material life, as much knowledge and information you collect, still there is something more to do after that. You see, it never comes to an end. That's the nature of the material world. That's the nature of the material knowledge also. But spiritual knowledge is not like that. Spiritual knowledge is something what one has realized, he has realized the truth, then everything else is on a different plane. He sees the material world in a different level, Maya and Maya's energy, and that he understands better in the realized state. That's why Krishna has spoken in that way.
Neither, therefore,
Krishna's point.
If you look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will find exactly the same thing mentioned there. Only thing is, it's spoken in a different language. There are verses in the 6th chapter if you look.
Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyadena adiyedana yasmim sthidona dukkena guru navi vichalyade.
The meaning is the same.
Yam labdhva chabaram labham manyadena adhigam tada.
That after getting this thing, this knowledge, yam labdhva chabaram labham, there is nothing more to be known after that.
Manyadena adhigam tada. Yasmin sthido na dukkhena guru na vivichalyade.
What will happen to that person? Yasmin sthido na dukkhena guru na vivichalyade. That means even if some very powerful waves in material life comes, say like a great distress or any kind of disturbance comes in material life,
yasmin sthido na dukkhena,
even greatest distress in this world, guru na vivichalyade, his mind won't move. He is so fixed up in the knowledge that Esmin Sthidona Dukhena Guru Nabi Vijayade, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter.
Yam Labdhva Jabaram Labam Manyade Manirena Adhiyam Tada Yasmin Yasmin Sthidona Dukhena Guru Nabi Vijayade. What else? Avidyan Dukkasam Yogam Yogam Yoga Sam Idam Avidyan Dukkasam Yogam
Yogam Yoga Sam Idam Samyogam Viyogam. That means in this world you will get to know and meet people. That is Samyogam. You will get to meet with people and you will become a part of their life, they will become a part of your life. That's called Samyogam. Later on, they will go their way, you will have to go your way. That's Viyogam. So, where does this come from? Avidya. That is Avidya. Avidya, Dukkha Samyoga Viyogam, Yoga Samyam. That because this dukkham, distress that coming from samyogam and viyogam, Krishna is saying there,
yogam idam, sanischayena yoktavyo,
yogo anirvinna chedasaha, that there he will not have any wavering, his mind will not waver, because sanischayena yoktavyo, because he is fixed up in the truth. This is the beauty of spiritual truth. This is the beauty of spiritual realization. Because we get, our mind starts wavering, isn't it? When any crisis comes in life, any especially separation from beloved ones or any other crisis health-wise or anything happens, what do we do normally? Immediately we get worried, we get disturbed over it. Then we go around looking for a solution to the problem, isn't it? So, Bhagavad Gita has spoken, anirvinna chetasaha, that anirvinna Anirvana means that he has no attachment there. It is difficult to come to that position of the mind, that mind is not disturbed whatever happens. This is what Krishna consciousness means, that not to get disturbed under any situation. When one is getting disturbed all the time, it's not a symptom of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, which is exactly the same thing what is spoken in Ekadasham also, that avidya dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samyidam yogam yoga samyidam samyogam viyogam is the nature of this world that you can't change. Samyogam and viyogam is the nature of this world. Then sanischayena yoktavyo, because he is fixed up in his spiritual realized state, yogo anirvinna chedasaha, that he is anirvinnatum, that he is not affected by that, because he has no connection, feeling any connection with anyone. He is not feeling any connection with anyone. So you can see that the science of Krishna consciousness, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is exactly the same. There is absolutely no difference in the science of Bhagavad Gita. That therefore, the only thing what is spoken here, that Krishna is requesting us, that take this knowledge, scrutinize it nicely within yourself, and you have to deliberate on this and discuss it and think through this process, meditate on this, Krishna says, and eventually try to make it your own realization. This is what Krishna is expecting from us. Why did he speak all these things otherwise? He said to them also that this knowledge what Krishna has spoken, he says, take it, deliberate on that, and also scrutinizingly study it and make it as your own realization.
And then in that case, he says that make this is the truth. This is the truth, Krishna is saying. So who does not want the truth? As long as we avoid the truth, we have to suffer. As long as we avoid the truth, we have to suffer. That and Krishna also says there that by cultivating this desire to realize the truth, what will happen? At the right point in time, Krishna says that if your desire has grown well and you have become qualified for it, automatically Krishna will send a person also to help you in the spiritual life. Spiritual life. So, it is that information, what where we talked about in the last Sunday also, Krishna is going to take it further now, from now on, where he is saying there that that we were talking about this last Sunday. I don't know whether you have gone and thought about this. If you have thought about it, it's very good. If you have not thought about it, we will go back to it again. There is no other way. Because it is from based on that, further things Krishna has spoken. I was mentioning this. The person you are communicating with, you are not seeing. The person you are seeing, you are not communicating with him. Do you understand that the meaning of that? What it means? Actually, through senses we are seeing, isn't it? We are seeing through the senses. But we are experiencing something different in the heart. Heart is experiencing, senses are showing us something. Unfortunately, what's happening is that we consider what we see through the senses as the truth. Indriya anubhavam, what we experience through the senses, we take it as truth. We completely ignore what we are experiencing in the heart. What we are experiencing in the heart. This is truth with all of us, isn't it? And only what we see, oh, that's the truth for us. We don't see anything else than that. And this particularly brings problem. This understanding. One is called Indriya Anubhavam. The other one is called Indriya Anubhavam. The other one is called Hridaya Anubhavam. The experience of the heart and experience of the senses are different. The senses brings knowledge from the world outside. Say, two people are talking to each other. So, Upanishads are talking to us. Ignore what you are seeing through the senses completely. Completely ignore it. What you are experiencing. Because we have put all our faith in these senses, thing called the senses. Not only we have put faith in the senses, we make as many sensors as possible for tape recorder, for computer, for everything. We need a sensor. We think the sensor is such a key element in this, isn't it? In technology, sensors are important, isn't it? For everything you need a sensor. But spiritual realization, sensors won't help very much. They are actually an obstruction there. Why? Because it will not allow you to go to the heart. It will put you through the senses, the game is going on all the time with the senses. And as long as you are absorbed in the senses, the heart will have no impact on the heart. Heart won't change. So there, Upanishads are saying, there is somebody inside that heart sitting there. They are referring to Krishna. Krishna is sitting inside the heart. And what is his nature? Sarvajnaha, who knows everything what's going on. Esha Sarvajnaha, a Sarvavid. He knows everything, not only that, he knows everything what's going on within us. A Sarvajnaha, a Sarvavid. And what else? Yasya Jnanamayam. He is full of knowledge inside. His knowledge inside is so high, we don't even realize that, how much knowledge he has got inside. Such is that personality who is sitting inside us. That we have never taken into account any time. The personality, Krishna, who is sitting inside, who is Sarvajnaha, who is full of knowledge, he knows there is nothing more for him to know. So realized everything. Sarveshwaraha is the controller of everything. And not only that, Sarvajnaha Sarvavid, he knows everything. He is completely conscious of everything what's going on. He says here. And that person, what does he do inside? He makes the senses to work. He makes the mind to allow all the thoughts to go through. Who this person inside is making the mind to go all through all the things what he wants to do. He makes the body, the heart to breathe, and he allows everything to digest inside. And apart from that, what else he does? Then he allows you to sleep also. He allows you to sleep also. He is doing all these things, and yasyaha toh pratishthitaha, and he is still keeping quiet there, doing all these things. And we never took any notice of him so far. Upanishads talk to us like this. They are saying here, that person, if you can, that person who knows everything, if you are able to communicate with him, who is inside doing all these things, it's a very important thing. If you are able to communicate with him, then you will know everything what is going on. Actually, all the great souls, realized souls, this is what they have done. They completely left the senses to itself and start going back and talking to this person inside. That's why they are able to tell you about the past, about the future, and so many things. They can talk about it because of this. That instead of using the senses and trying to find a solution to all the problems, the great personalities, they have changed their approach. This is inward looking. Inward looking means this, that there is someone inside, we don't know him yet, but who is controlling the mind, controlling the senses, controlling the intelligence, and allows the body to execute its own different activities, and he is full of knowledge and full of bliss. Sarvajna, Sarvavid, Sarveshwaraha, and he is the controller of everything. So if you then if you see this within yourself, if you see this person within yourself, then there's going to be a tremendous change in our relationship with others also. Relationship with others also. Not only that, if you see this within inside, and if you link all your activities with that person, all your activities with that person, what will happen is relationships with other people will change. Relationship with other people will change. Because it is him who is inside who drives this chariot, like a charioteer. He's driving this chariot as well. And this is why he's not only in me, but in everyone. He's sitting there and doing this job. In this dead matter called material body, he is sitting inside this and doing this job in everyone's case. So therefore what's happening is, he sitting inside is talking through my senses, he is speaking. Sitting inside your heart, he is listening. He is sitting in my heart and he is speaking. Sitting in your heart, he is listening. So if you have understood this thing, that it is Krishna who is speaking from within, and it is Krishna who is listening from within on the next person, then the Upanishads are saying, Hridayam sannidhaya pradishtidena tad vijnanena anandarubam amrutam yad vibhadi. Immediately what will happen is, you will experience deathlessness from this. Why? What will happen is, that Krishna is sitting inside and making us to speak. Krishna is sitting in somebody else's heart and sitting there and listening to it. What Krishna has spoken from here, Krishna is listening from the other person. So when this happens, Kadayam Sannidhaya Pradishtirena, eventually this consciousness will come like that in ourselves, if we recognize these things. But if we constantly operate on a sensual platform, in the senses, this will not happen. Senses can't help you to understand this point. This can only be realized that Krishna is sitting inside and speaking, and Krishna is sitting inside and listening. From this you have to understand one thing, that if you remember earlier we spoke about this, that in everyone's heart, sitting there and playing this hide and seek game, that's what Krishna is doing. Krishna is saying, find me. I am in you, I am in him, I am in everyone, and I am playing this game. Can you catch me? This is Krishna's challenge to us.
So when Krishna is situated in, this is an important thing in spiritual realization, because from this so many other things comes out. We'll see that later what will happen. That Krishna's presence in everyone, recognizing that, one has to recognize within oneself first, that as much as one becomes Krishna conscious, this is Krishna consciousness. This is what is Krishna consciousness is, that you realize that Krishna is within me, controlling me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout life, from the day the soul entered into the body till the soul leaves that body, it is Krishna who is running the show. That realization hasn't come. Therefore, we have difficulties. All the time we are operating on a mental platform, thing and the senses. Two things which is keeping us busy. So here Krishna is saying, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and Sarvajnaha, Sarveshwaraha, and Sarvavet, Pradishtinaha. I'm situated like that in everyone's heart. So the moment we ignore the experience of the senses, we leave that behind. Indriya Nibhav. We leave that behind and take what is going on in the heart. What's going on inside? That is Krishna who is operating from there. Inside the heart, it's Krishna who is operating. So once you have come to that understanding, what will happen? What will happen is that you will have this tendency, once you are convinced yourself that Krishna is controlling my life, that is bhakti. Otherwise it's not bhakti. We are doing so many things externally to please Krishna. But this key point is missing there. That I am controlled and driven by Krishna, nobody else. And that is done precisely like Upanishads are talking about here. Upanishads are saying here, yes, Sarvajnaha, he knows everything, what is going on inside out. Inside he is situated, seated there. And what else he is doing? Sarvajnaha, Sarvavid. He is conscious of everything, what is happening outside. He knows everything, he is conscious of what is going on outside. Sarveshwaraha, and he can control everything. And Upanishad says, talk to him. Make that relationship with him. And then what will happen? What will happen is this, that you will completely give up connection with the senses. You don't want to know anything to do with the senses. Because senses are not bringing you the right information. Senses are misleading you, taking you away from Krishna in one way or the other. You're taking you in all wrong directions. It's just like you have this you have one of these Tim-Tom which takes you in the car to all these places. But sometimes Tim-Tom won't show you the route to let you know to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I see all the time people wandering around in circles in Lechmore Heat. Why? Because they trusted Tim-Tom. They didn't trust Krishna. They were after Tim-Tom. Tim-Tom will not take you to Krishna. So, the same thing, you notice this, you just have to go outside that gate and stand there. Cars coming one after the other, running around in circles, inquiring where is Bhaktivedanta Manor. So, this is what happens. So, similarly, exactly like, of course, Tim-Tom may help you in the motorways and all that, that's another thing. But exactly what I'm saying is, similarly, senses, mind, intelligence, these ones won't take you to Krishna. They will only keep you busy in this world. And unfortunately, all our life, we gave importance to that. That's why we missed the point. That's why we are finding a difficulty now in our spiritual life. Had we taken Krishna who is situated within us seriously in the heart, instead of trusting the senses, trusting the information that they were bringing us, we would not have got into this mess what we are today. That is the most important thing. This is where bhakti begins. Bhakti's first stage is this. It says here, if you come to this understanding, what does it mean? It means that you start realizing, I'm not a temporary material body. This is where that realization comes. This temporary material existence has come to us only because of trusting the senses, mind and intelligence. We forgot to give importance to the soul inside, who is Krishna present there, guiding us through this whole world all the time. We completely ignored him. Therefore, turn your attention towards the soul. This is why in the Bhagavad Gita, as soon as Krishna began, he said to the Nasade Vidyade Bhavo, Na Bhavo Vidyade Sadaha, Ubhayorava Drishtvandam Stanayor Tattva Darshivi. This is what Tattva Darshi has found out. They found this out. and all the great souls have found this out. This is their quality. What they have found out is this thing. That's why all realized souls, you can go and not convince them about shopping, buying more things. They won't be attracted by your, you can bring them the best literature or the best products in this world, ask them to buy it. They won't be attracted by that. Why? Because they know what senses can offer you. If you're trusted senses, you will get victimized. If you're not trusted senses, you won't get victimized. So that's the most important point, that astitvam. Astitvam means that my existence is permanent. I am not a temporary material body. This realization will come from that. Associated with that, few things will happen. What is that? First thing is peace. Peaceful mind will come from that. Peace, we say, is a quality of the soul that is meant to be peaceful. And in addition to that, you also feel the eternity, that I am not temporary, and also the bliss in dealing with others. Bliss in dealing with others. Nowadays, we don't want to deal with others. You see, everyone is a headache in this world. We deal with some form or the other. Why does it happen like that? Because it has been routed through the wrong channel. That's where it has come from that. So Krishna is saying here that even while you are negotiating with others, there will be a transfer. There will be a change in the relationship. Because what will happen then is, our vision while seeing others will start penetrating through their body and through the mind and go towards the soul. Because we'll only see the soul in the person, not the body or the mind. And when that switch happens, when you change your vision in that way, Krishna says there that this is considered to be the perfection of bhakti. This is the perfection of bhakti. The perfection of bhakti is the, we think the perfection of bhakti is seeing Krishna, isn't it? Lot of people have this one, I've seen Krishna, that's the final now. Now I think, no, Krishna says no. It's not Krishna seeing as, because why it is so? You may see Krishna, Ardhavani also saw Krishna. But then Krishna told him, you won't see me anymore now for this rest of the life. So, but realize, when you realize the truth and then seeing Krishna is something different. When you realize the truth and seeing Krishna is different. And that's what he's talking about here. That, that after realizing the truth, having devotion to Krishna is a different situation. It's a different situation. So therefore, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will find this. How Krishna has put it. Bahunam janmanam ande yanavanmam prabhadyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabhaha. Then, bahunam janmanam ande, this situation won't happen overnight. Bahunam janmanam ande, it has to be developed in a person. One has to cultivate this. And when you start cultivating this, what will happen is, bahunam janmanam ande jnanavan mam prabhadyade. That jnanavan, one who has not that knowledge in him, he will surrender to me. Because for him, then surrender is easier. Because he has realized the truth. So, the bhakti after realizing the truth is different than the bhakti before realizing the truth. Before realizing the truth, we discussed bhakti, what it is like, isn't it? That is, Krishna keeps stressing this point in Bhagavad Gita. Only thing, you have to take it very seriously. Look for this. You will find it there. Vasudeva sarvamidhi. Krishna says everything is Krishna. In everyone, who is present in everyone is Krishna. Samahalma sudurlabha. Such a mahalma is very, very rare, Krishna says. Such a mahalma is very, very rare. Because that realization won't come very easily. Because we have never thought about this in our spiritual life. All the spiritually 30, 40 years we were thinking, oh, I'll chant my 16 rounds. I will take prasadam. I'll follow the four regulative principles. My spiritual master will take me to the spiritual world. Passed on to him the responsibility, and we are sitting here waiting for the flood. But it never comes, and eventually it ends up in some hospital where we have to leave the body. At that time, no realization at all. Absolutely no realization. We have never cared to look into Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, nor we try to develop any of the knowledge what Krishna has given to us, nor we followed the route what he has told us to do. Instead, what we have done is we have thought what it suits us.
temporarily so that my sensual activities can carry on. Krishna is telling us, don't trust the senses, don't trust the mind, don't trust the intelligence. That is, I am sitting there in your heart, keep looking at me and try to make that connection with me, Krishna says. And when it is done with that understanding, chanting becomes perfect. The chanting the holy name becomes perfect if it is done in that way. Otherwise, if I am chanting my rounds and thinking, how am I going to make more money today? Where do I have more money where I can get from? When I chant, it will stay like that. This is what chanting without any offenses means. So, what Krishna has spoken about this is, there are more things associated with that. Krishna is saying here, your devotion is perfect at that time, when you have started seeing things in this way. The bhakti is perfect. So, if you look into the second verse, Nirodholpatya anubhadam nanatvam talkridan gunan andapravishtama adhatta evam deha gunan paraha. In the next verse, you will see Nirodholpatyanam brahman nanatvam talkridan gunan andapravishtama adhatta evam deha gunan paraha. Then, one thing we have forgotten about the soul there, that when you are taking examples which Krishna has given in the Bhagavadam, you have to also know that soul has not like the fire. Soul is different than the fire. Fire got finished with the death of the firewood. When the firewood turned into ashes, the fire is also finished. But soul is never finished. That's what Krishna is reminding us in that verse. Soul is never finished. Nirodpatyanubhraham nanatvam dalkradan gunan andapravishtamadhatta evam deha gunan parahaham. That when this realization has come to a person, when he starts dealing with the world, how it will happen, he will not be disturbed by the intention, motives or desire of the other person. Those things won't disturb him. This is the beauty of that. The intention, the motive and the desire of the other person. This is what disturbs us in our dealings with other people. Isn't it? When you deal with other people, you start thinking, what's his motive now? What's the after? Oh, what is his intention? And what other desires has he got so that he is trying to use me for that purpose? Is that what it is? So, this intention, motive and desire in other people will not come on the way if you are seeing in this way with other people. And just like in normal family relationships also, let's look into that. Son is not listening, father says. The son is not listening. Wife is saying, husband is not listening to me. Husband is saying, my wife is not listening. So, nobody is listening to each other. Father has gone old, grandfather has gone old. He's not able to do anything because he's too old now. He's not able to do anything. So, in house, family life, all this has become a problem. Everything has become a problem. Everybody is complaining against the other. Complaining in the sense that they are feeling helpless about it. That the husband is complaining, wife is complaining, children are complaining, that parents are interfering in our life too much. Why they don't let us go, do what we want. The father is saying, my son is not listening, what can I do? So like this, things go in this direction. Krishna says, there is only one solution to this problem. Problem is, you can't change the body of anybody. That body has got it. It has to have to live with that body. If he's gone old, he's old. He's not going to become young tomorrow. Because old age means it causes anxiety for difficulties for others also. Looking after older people and to adjust to their needs. All this requires tremendous patience. So, there the difficulty comes. Old age has come and we start thinking we are helpless, we can't change the body. You can't change the mind also of anybody. You can't change the mind. Constantly complaining about it won't help because that's not going to change. It's not possible to change. So what Krishna is saying here is, if you have become Krishna conscious in this way, when you talk to other people in the same way, other members in the family with whom you have difficulty, what will happen is, because you are now talking from Krishna talking to Krishna in the other heart, that Krishna consciousness in that person will start waking up. The Krishna consciousness in the other person will start waking up. Up to this time, you were complaining because in sensual level you were dealing with that person through the senses. You are complaining that person didn't comply with everything or listen to you what you have said, because you have acted on the wrong level, on that relationship or on a wrong platform. So Krishna says there that once you start doing this with other people, seeing Krishna within yourself, and if you have understood this principle, when you are saying something, it's Krishna who is speaking. When somebody and the person who is hearing, it's Krishna who is hearing inside that person. This is all Krishna's duties inside. He has taken this responsibility. And if this realization has come to us, and in dealing with the other persons in this world, if we develop this relationship with them in this way, you will ignore their mind, body, intentions, motives, desires, everything. And simply it is a matter between Krishna inside and Krishna in the other person's heart. At that time, that person, although he may not be Krishna conscious, because you are Krishna conscious, his Krishna consciousness will start waking up. This is what all the great souls have done. Look at Srila Prabhupada, what he did. This is exactly what he has done. His Krishna consciousness was such, he was seeing Krishna in other bodies. Naturally, those who were not willing to listen to anybody, they started listening to him. Not only in Prabhupada's case, in all the great personalities, if you look, this is how these changes happened. As Prabhupada said, that I didn't come here to bribe them, I didn't give them anything. They came to me, I spoke to them, and everything changed. They took to Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, who is interested in reading Bhagavad Gita? They will like to read so many other nice literature there. Nice in the sense, which satisfies the senses, isn't it? But as soon as Prabhupada was able to transfer them from the sensual world to this world, Krishna's world, everything changed. Automatically, people started listening. They took to it. They can understand that Krishna is talking. Prabhupada was fully conscious. Krishna is speaking, Krishna is listening. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And when we don't go in that direction, what will happen is, whole life will be a misery for us. Whole life will be a misery. Because it's not going to change. Krishna is saying that the person's body you cannot change, the person's mind you cannot change, his thought process you can't change, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is to complain whole lifetime mutually. So, this is what Krishna does inside, what we have to realize first. What Krishna does inside is all these things. That therefore, experience from the senses, we have to keep it away. We have to take the experience of the heart. What is going on inside the heart is more important. So here he says there that that there's one more thing important here. If you don't have this nature in you, suppose you have not developed this nature, but on the other hand, you're chanting a lot of rounds and you're performing extreme austerities and penances, what will happen? Your chanting rounds, austerities and penances will cause more problem in the house. It will be the opposite effect. Why? Because rest everyone in the house will say to you, look, you have no time for us. You've got time for yourself to do everything else. Because you are not seeing in that person's Krishna's presence. And this is why we have a lot of problems. Sometimes we curse the whole family members. What's the point in cursing them all? They also come here like us. And they also have a karma to follow them. There's no point in cursing everyone in this world. The vairagyam should not come out of disgusted with the world. That is not proper vairagyam. That's not the real way to hate the world. Because you can't hate this world. When Krishna is present in everything, how can you hate everybody? That is also not possible. Okay, in certain situations, when you find it is too much to handle, you keep away. That much you can do. But you can't blame them for that, because
Krishna must, Krishna is doing it inside and outside. How can you blame Krishna? Can you? We blame Krishna also, isn't it? That Krishna is not doing anything right. That's how we act. For us, we are separate from, we are not separate from Krishna. We are part of Krishna. That's why it is spoken like this. We are part of Krishna. Everybody is a part of Krishna. If everyone is a part of Krishna, where is the question of disagreement? I mean, disagreement comes due to other reasons, because of our materializations. But Krishna says the only way you can change this situation when he is by developing this connection with Krishna inside. So, and these qualities, what Krishna has spoken here, in Shastram, there are two important words to refer to that. One is called Anvikshini. Anvikshini means how to see things in the proper way. To see things in the proper way. Because we are not seeing things in the proper way. This is what is called seeing things in the proper way. Now we are seeing everyone either is a friend or is an enemy. Isn't it? This is how we perceive the world today. Oh, he's friendly to me, so I'll deal with him. Somebody else is my enemy. I don't want to know anything about him. Let him go to hell. That's our attitude. This is the false way of relating with the world. So Krishna says, develop this Anvikshini Buddhi. Anvikshini Buddhi. Anvikshini, the vision. The vision. And there's another word which is given to that is Vaisharadi Buddhi. You will see that in the next few verses. We'll go to that verse now because it's the 13th verse in this chapter. Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhir dunodimayam gunasam prasudam punamscha sandahya yadalta medal swayam jashamyat asamit yadhagni. A beautiful verse in the Bhagavad. Krishna says there, Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhir. This buddhi, this intelligence to deal with the world in this way, Krishna calls it as Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi Buddhi, that's a name given to that buddhi. Why is that given name? Because that buddhi, intelligence to deal with this world, is called Sharada. Sharada is, it is, that's from word Sharada, has come Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi Buddhi, what is the beauty of this Vaisharadi Buddhi? Vaisharadi Sadhi Vishuddha Buddhi. Because of Vaisharadi Buddhi, his buddhi is purified, intelligent. And Dhunodhimayam Gunasamprasudam. What it does is, it won't allow Maya to step in your dealings. This is Krishna consciousness. That it will not allow the Maya to get in. Because why? What Maya does to us is, the three modes of nature, material nature, where are they present? Present in the mind, and in intelligence, and in the senses. As you know, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas is present in our body in all these places. And Krishna is saying here, Vaisharadi sadhi vishuddha buddhi dunodhi mayam gunasam prasudam. Maya is full of gunam, three modes of material nature. Gunasam prasudam, he says. And if that gunas are inside, where is the question of Vaisharadi buddhi? Vaisharadi buddhi cannot stay in that condition. So, Krishna says there, this Vaisharadi Buddhi will wipe out Maya straight away from inside. And then, Gunamsya Sandahya Yad Alpa Medal Swayam Jashamyat Asamit Yadha Agni. Then, a disciple, Krishna is talking about a disciple now here. He says here, a disciple, that when he has acquired the proper realization inside, what happens at that point is this Vaisharadi Buddhi starts working. Vaisharadi Buddhi starts working. The result of that all the reactions, all the resultant activities coming from the three modes of nature will immediately stop. Because it gets burned in the fire that has been generated by the Vaisharadi Buddhi. So, Vaisharadi Buddhi Vishuddha Buddhi, Vaisharadi Sati Vishuddha Buddhi, Dhunodhi Mayam Gunasam Prasudam, Gunamsya Sandahyam Yadalpame Edal, Swayam Jashamit Asamit Yadagni. That as soon as, because it burns the three modes of nature, which has caused this confusion in us of this Vaisharadi Buddhi,
then it will also it will also stop all our illusions from inside. It burns Maya in such a way, just like we talked about the firewood burning the fire burning the firewood. In the similar way, this Vaisharadi Buddhi also keeps the Maya away and not allow this us to fall into that trap again. And we, in this particular chapter, we will have to take verses from different places now and then, because it is related to Krishna's topmost instruction, the Ekadasya Skandham, what he is talking now. And this realization is what he is going to expand later in different questions from Uddhava. Uddhava is going to ask questions based on this 10th chapter. In all the remaining chapters, the questions that Uddhava is going to pose in front of Krishna is coming from this 10th chapter, what Krishna has spoken. So here, what we'll have to do is to take the verses from different places at different times. Anyway, having said that, Krishna says here, we go back to the verse 10, where we saw there that Krishna was saying there, Yoso punair virajiro dehoyam purushasyahi samsarastam nibandoyam pumso vidya chidal panaham. Yoso punair virajiro. Then, we talked about a gross body and a subtle body before, didn't we? That gross and subtle body, Krishna is saying here, was made of Maya, Maya's gunas, three modes of nature. That's one. Yoso gunair virajito dehoyam purusha sehi. Then what has happened is, we have, just like we talked about this before, that we identify, we took the channel through the senses to know this world. Similarly, when we, Krishna says here, that yoso gunair virajito, that the gunam, the three gunas have created. Created by three gunas. What is that? This dehoyam purushasahi, our deham, our shayam, our material body, was created by the three modes of nature. And what happened? Samsarastam nibandoyam so vidya chidalmanaha. That our misery, our distress, what we are feeling in this material world, or material misery, material due to material existence, is due to our adhyasam, our identification with this body. Our identification with this body. Therefore, Krishna says here, he atmano vidya tasya chit. Therefore, it is actually detrimental. Detrimental for cultivating spiritual knowledge. And spiritual knowledge is that thing which will destroy this connection with the material world. In other words, what Krishna is saying there is that once you have proper contact with a spiritual master who is realized, that contact alone will eventually destroy that ignorance in us, and we will free ourselves from this bondage, what we are feeling with the body, this connection with the body. Although you will see later on, soul is not touched, it associates with anything, isn't it? Soul cannot be touched by anything. But at the same time, when we have no realizations, self-realization, what will happen is that in that state of consciousness, our identification with the body will happen, and all that is happening to the body will identify with the soul. Say, for example, when you are hungry, what do you say? I am hungry, you say. Who is hungry actually? Not the soul, the body needs some food. I want to sleep. These are all the sharira dharma. It's a dharma, all the activities of the body, isn't it? Sharira dharma it is called. So those things related to the body, they will start imposing on the soul. This is the biggest flaw there. That all that is related to the body, we will start imposing upon the soul. This is a big problem. And that will not go away easily. Because it is only due to that we are complaining, isn't it? That I am hungry, I want to sleep, I want to enjoy, I want to do this. Soul doesn't need any of these things, if we know we are the soul. But somehow we have identified with this body as the soul, self as the self. And then the sharira dhyasam, therefore material existence has come to us. So you can see material existence is caused from the material desires, and this material desires is all related to the body. Soul has no material desire. But moment we have identified with the body, all our miseries have begun at that point. It has begun at that point. And that is why we have this misunderstanding in us. Again, in the next chapter 11, Krishna will talk about this, that soul and the body are different, but somehow or the other we are trapped in this. No matter how much we discuss and talk about it, still as soon as you get up, you are the body again. This all theoretically all sounds very good. Then we say to Krishna also that, well, you have spoken all these things, but nothing is happening to me. I am still suffering from this body problem. I am the body. This is all I am chanting all the time. So that's why he is saying here, saying you have chanted this for so long, now you have to chant, I am not this body for same amount of time to come out of this. This is difficulty, yeah? There is a lot of difficulty here. That we think that self-realization is such a simple thing. Self-realization doesn't happen easily. That this is where Krishna's mercy comes in. That why bhakti? Bhakti is for this purpose. That we are suffering in this material body, unable to find a solution to this miseries of this world. And constantly thinking, trying to adjust situations in this world, thinking that I will become happy. And we never become happy. You can see that. And every day we are seeing this also. So you can see that in all levels, different people in this world are suffering in different levels. That's all. It's different. Man is getting 700,000 pounds pension, he's also suffering. And man is getting no pension, he's also suffering. So everywhere people are suffering, one way or the other. It seems that the material nature is, it has to torture everyone in some level or the other. If it doesn't torture, you are not tasted material life. So that torture will continue. And the disciple who realizes this in the first day itself, who can see through this and look for realization of the self beyond all these things, is intelligent. He is the one who is intelligent, not anybody else. Otherwise, simply dealing and fighting with the material nature is not going to solve the problem. This is what point Krishna is saying here. And in the next verse, what Krishna is saying is that tasmad, therefore, Krishna says, tasmad, therefore, what should you do? Jitnasayatmanam atmastam kevalam param sangam manirasatvedat vastu buddhim yathakramam. Another beautiful verse from Krishna. Tasmad jitnasayatmanam atmastam kevalam param sangam manirasatvedat vastu buddhim yathakramam. Tasmad atmastam atmanam jitnasaya kevalam param sangamya. That is what Krishna is saying. Therefore, Krishna says, because of this, the soul who is sitting inside, you should realize him somehow or the other. You should realize him as what? That he is Krishna inside. And after realizing him, this experience of the body as the truth has to leave you. Only if you realize him who is sitting inside as the absolute truth, Krishna present inside, only then this concept that I am this body will leave you. That's what Krishna is saying. Tasma jitnyasaya atmanam atmastam kevalam param sangam nirasadvedat vastu buddhim yathakramam. He said, this is the sequence of doing that. What is the sequence? First to realize the truth inside. I am the soul inside is Krishna, that Atma who is as my soul present inside, and if you realize that, this adhyasam with the body will go. At that point, the realization is complete, and that therefore it will not bother you anymore. This is the point Krishna is making there. So what we are talking about was that we are saying here that all the great souls, they found out the secret. This is what they have done. Their realization is this. They have found out this secret. And in so many instances, this has been proven in this world.
It's not it just happened once or twice. All the great, great realized souls, when they have acted in this world, they have acted on this platform. This platform of Krishna, seeing Krishna in everything. Seeing Krishna in everything. So just to give you the example of that, a story. Many years ago, there were, when the bhakti process, the process of bhakti was very prominent. At that time, there were several bhakti movements in India. There were several bhakti movements which sprang up at that time. Great, great devotees from different sampradayams, they were living at that time. And due to their bhakti process, and they were advanced realized souls, most of them were very highly elevated devotees. And one of them was known as Basaveshwara, a famous personality. He was a devotee of Shiva, Lord Shiva actually. He was a devotee. So he started a sampradaya himself. Among, like the Vaishnava sampradaya, there are many Shaiva sampradayas also. He is one among them. And Veera Shaiva, they call it, the sampradaya. And he was a great personality in the sense that this realization he had completely in him, that he would not see anyone as a on an external level. Whatever anybody thought about him, it didn't matter to him. He will say the person inside is the Supreme Lord present there. That's how he saw inside in everyone. That realization was complete. And what he used to do was, he used to invite all the devotees to come. And those who were initiated in their tradition, whoever that was there, they were all invited for a feast often. And he had a lot of wealth also, this personality, a lot of wealth. And everybody used to go there and have a big feast. He used to feed them very well. But he had a system while doing that. In the prasadam hall where he was serving people, they used to stand two people at different gates. And everyone who comes, the gatekeepers or who are watching the entry of the people, they will make sure that they were initiated into this, their parampara. Only then they were allowed in. The reason for that was that when food was distributed like that, when feast was served like that, Basaveshwara had a system. System was like this, that when everybody sat down for the prasadam, what he used to do, he will come to each and every one of them. And they used to tie one Shivalingam at their neck, just like Vaishnavas have the Kanthimala, the Tulasi Mala. They have the Lord Shiva's Lingam in the throat. They tie it at the throat. They don't tie the Lingam as it is. They cover it with a cloth and they tie it down. So, when you go and sit for the prasadam, you all sit down. Basaveshwara will come to each and every person himself. He will come. So you have to take this Shiva Lingam from inside and keep it. He has with him two people with him. They would have brought camphor, flowers, incense, fruits, garland, and sandalwood pulp, and so many things for articles of worship. Basaveshwara will offer worship to each and every Shiva Lingam, and then he will pay his obeisances to the Shiva Lingam. And then he will move on to the next person. Like that, he will complete the whole all group of people who are sitting there. When everyone is completed, then only after that the feast will be served. So it so happened that one such a feast was going on. So two people came that way, two persons. They were very hungry. They wanted to eat something. So when they came, these people, they used to offer food to others also after this is over. After the devotees were fed, only after that they fed the people outside. But these two people who came that way, that particular day, they were very, very hungry. They wanted to eat something. So when they tried to get in to the prasadam hall,
the guards who were standing there, they stopped them. Stopped them. So they didn't know anything. They thought the feast is going on, we could also go and have some feast, nice feast. But they were stopped. So they asked them, what's the matter? They said that, look, where is your Shivalingam in the neck? So they did not know that they had to have been initiated and all that. So they said, we don't have, where will I get the Shivalingam? Yeah, they asked, where can we get the Shivalingam? He says, no, it doesn't work like that. Here, you have to be initiated properly into the tradition. And then you have to be prepared, unless you are a member of this tradition, you are not allowed in, he said. And they were starving, they couldn't bear anymore. So Sangha was so strong. So the guards won't care, guards will obey the orders, what's been told. That's what their duty is. So these two people left, they were talking to each other what to do now. So what they did was, when they were walking, they saw somebody was selling eggplants there. So they picked up, they said, we'll take two eggplants from here. They took two eggplants. You know, there are different types of eggplants. The small ones looks like Shivalingam size. They got two of them. They covered it with a hanky or some cloth and tied it in their neck. And instead of going through this gate, because they thought that if they, because only a few minutes ago they were there, they went to the another gate. When they went in there, as usual, they looked at them and this Shivalingam was in their neck because this eggplant was covered with the cloth. So they went inside. They just wanted prasadam. They were not interested in Vasaveshwara or Shivalingam or Shiva or anything. Like some of us also, we're only interested in the prasadam side of it. So, this is exactly what happened there also. These type of people are always there throughout the history, not only today. We think only today, we are like, no. Throughout the history, there are people like that. So they came and they went inside. They went inside. The two went inside. And they were looking at each other, feeling, oh, we got through this first hurdle, you know. They didn't know anything what was going to happen inside. So they went and sat inside in the line. So many people were sitting. They also went and sat down there. So after some time, Vasveshwara came with all his guards, the two persons were with him, with all these things, and they started looking and they realized, every time Vasveshwara comes to the first person in the line, he takes out this cloth and puts the Shivalingam in the front. And Vasveshwara starts offering everything to the Lord Shiva, and with his first form of worship, offering the, he has brought fruits with him, flower with him, and everything, and after that he pays obeisance to Shivalingam because he is seeing Lord Shiva in everyone, as a, in their tradition anyway. So this, he started doing this. So these two people who are sitting there, they really understood they are in trouble now. They're serious trouble now, because they can't get up now, because they all, the whole line is full up with people. Suddenly two of them get up, everybody will ask, what's happened, what's wrong with you? So they started, only 2 minutes ago they were thinking they have done. They have got through the crisis and they are going to have a big, and they are watching all the feast being served. But they won't start eating till Vasveshwara comes and does this worship of the Shivalingam. So they were talking to each other and saying, now what is to be done? Everything has been served, only Vasveshwara has to pass through, start eating straight away. So immediately Vasveshwara coming one after the other, and they were observing, and they were in a real dilemma what to do. They are caught up in an awkward situation. Vasveshwara was not looking at all these things. He was coming one after the other. When he came to our two friends who were sitting for prasadam, the first one was not willing to take it out. He was waiting, thinking that let him say what he wants to say. So Vasveshwara came and stood there completely in meditation in his Krishna consciousness. And at that time, the guards who were with him, take out the Shivalingam, where is it, he said. So he took out this cloth and put it there. Vasveshwara looked, it was Shivalingam inside. There was no eggplants there, there was Shivalingam there. Vasveshwara, as usual, performed his worship and he moved on. And these two people who were sitting there, they couldn't believe it, that this can happen. How did this happen? Because as far as he is concerned, Vasveshwara is concerned, he has come to this stage of seeing Krishna in everything. When I'm talking about Shiva, it's Krishna, it's the same, seeing Supreme Lord in everything. That he was worshipping the Shiva aspect of Krishna. But Krishna is present in everyone, and that realization is complete in Basaveshwara. He knew Krishna won't cheat him. Krishna won't cheat him. That realization was complete in him. Why do we feel all the time doubt? Because we are not sure about Krishna. We are feeling that we see, do not realize Krishna's presence in another living entity. So this is what has happened there. And that one who has come to that stage, nothing that can disturb him anymore. This is the proof of that. That the realization, when the realization is complete in Krishna consciousness, then all other things, what happens in this external world, you have already realized it, that Krishna will present to you the way you have realized it. How you have realized Krishna, that way Krishna will present himself to you. This is Krishna's law, that you can't change anything from that. Then this is what is called Vaisharadi Buddhi, that what Krishna is talking about there. Then Krishna won't tell a lie. This is another thing in this case. Then that in everyone, even though they were lying, those two visitors, they were lying, Krishna couldn't lie, because he's a devotee standing there seeking the truth, and he is seeing in that level. For the devotee's sake, Krishna has to present in that way. This is called Vaisharadi Buddhi. Because how did this happen? Because Basaveshwara's Krishna consciousness was pure, bhakti was complete. Automatically, these two visitors, Krishna consciousness in them also has come out. Without their knowledge, it has come out. Because of that, pure devotees in the front. So this will happen. That we are thinking how to cheat Krishna. In other words, isn't it? Sometimes we think, if I can get away with this, Krishna won't see anything. I will manage somehow. No, you can't manage anything. Everything is seen by him inside. So that's why they say that you can do anything in this world and cheat everyone in this world, but the someone who is inside is always observant. And that recognition we are missing. And that's why we have all the problems of this world as well, isn't it? And this is why Vedic scriptures are so precise in all these things. So precise. It says, Vaisharade Sadi Vishuddha Buddhe Dunoti Mayam Gunasam Prasudam. That if you want to free yourself, Vedic scriptures are not frightened of the enemy outside. The enemy is inside. Krishna is saying, Shastra is saying, that if you don't recognize this friend of you who is inside, who is running everything, and if you don't develop this intelligence, Vaisharadi Buddhi, Unodi Mayam, Gunasam Prasudam, that all other techniques what we adopt to cheat each other in this world is coming from Guna, three modes of nature. Gunasam Prasudam, it says there, combined with our vasanas inside. So it will only go if this Vaisharadi Buddhi comes inside. Vaisharadi Buddhi comes inside. That's why in several places we will see Sharada is worshipped. Sharada is one form of Maya Devi, whom we see in Bhagavad mentions earlier when Krishna appeared, when she appeared, and Maya Devi also appeared. And Maya Devi was given several names at that time. If you remember, Ambiga, Narayani, Ishani, Chandiga, all in that one of them is Sharada. So Sharada Devi is that personality. Vaisharadi comes from that word, from Sharada. So what Krishna is saying here is that once it has come, this knowledge, it will remove Maya from inside, and at the same time eventually everything comes to the pure realization. That's what Krishna has spoken in that. Now, after that, we saw Tasmajityasayalpanam Alpastam Kevalam Param Sangamya Nirasadvedal Vastubuddhim Yathakramam. Then the way ignorance is taken away from a person through the power of knowledge, Krishna is talking compared to fire. Vilakshana stula sushmal dehad almekshida sodare यदा अग्निर्धारिणो दाह्यो दाहगोन्य प्रकाशकाः
how the self-realization comes into practical experience for a disciple. That is what this chapter is all about. This chapter is talking about that. How the self-realization comes into practical experience for a person who is seeking the truth. So earlier, if you remember, we talked about the Yamana Bhishnam Seveda Malkarnam a few verses before. We said this, I think it was verse number 5. Yamana Bhishnam Seveda Teman Malpare Kojil Madhavikyam Gurum Shandam Upasida Madal Magam. There you have noticed Yamam and Nevam Krishna has spoken, and Krishna also said there that Ashtanga Yogam can help. That is what Yamanevam means, isn't it? That in order that this knowledge has to work in a person, the mind has to become very mature means in the sense that what is that maturity? Krishna spoke later, isn't it? Then with that maturity, jinyasa will come. Remember all that what we spoke in the beginning, how that jinyasa comes about. Jinyasa comes, first thing Krishna spoke about varnashrama dharma. From varnashrama dharma, Krishna said one executes that thing, what will happen is he will get purified with the result that anyuchada vishuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām. He will see the miseries of material life, of people who are absorbed in the body, people who are absorbed in enjoying the body, and they will come to that realization, viṣayātmanām. Then what will happen? Viṣayātmanām anyuchada vishuddhātmā dehinām viṣayātmanām uneṣa tattvadhyānena sarvārambha vipanyayam. Automatically, he will become very self-conscious. In other words, he will become very serious about spiritual life. Unesha tattvadhyanena, and he will withdraw himself sarva aramba vibharyayam. He will not unnecessarily wander around in this world doing all kinds of activities, because he will withdraw himself to the towards the soul. So he said that before, and here he is saying, Krishna is saying here that as much that according to the degree of maturity one acquires in that way, what will happen is his brahmajinyasa will grow. Brahmajinyasa means what? What is brahmajinyasa means? People call by different names. Ultimately, a person who is seeking the truth, who is after the truth, he has got brahmajinyasa. Another word used is satyanveshanam. Satyanveshanam means inquiring for the truth, inquiring after the truth. That is satyanveshanam. Another word is Brahma Jinyasa. Third one is Brahmavaloka Dishanam. All these words actually means the same. In different ways, it's been presented in different places. But whatever it is, the important thing is, as he becomes serious, Krishna says, what will happen? Jinyasayam Sampravurte. Jinyasayam Sampravurte. Jinyasa means that. Because of that Jinyasa, Nadriyat Karma Chodanam, he will not be attracted for karma anymore. This escaping from karma is not an easy thing. It takes a lot of effort to come out of this karma. So once one is free from that, jnasayam sampravrti nadriyal karma chodanam, then once he has decided to inquire, go after the truth, Krishna says here, then he should not engage in fruitive activities. There are two types of activities, isn't it? One is the activities which are fruitive activities, and the second one is the prescribed duties. Prescribed duties, which are also activities in another way. So, kāmya karma one has to give up straight away. Kāmya karma means fruitive activities. Fruitive activities must stop straight away. Krishna says there that will leave him automatically. Both of them will leave him. Both fruitive activities as well as the prescribed duties will both leave him if his brahmajñāsa has grown very well, very strongly. If brahmajñāsa becomes very powerful, all this has no value. These are here. In fact, Sri Narada Maharshi at one point chastises Vedavyas for this. He says, you wrote all this, so many literature, Mahabharatam and all that. Everywhere you have encouraged people in this kamya karma, fruitive work, talking about dharmartha kama moksham. That he says there, by talking about this kamya karma and to entertain people, you shouldn't do that. He said to
Narada Maharshi said this to Vedavyas at one point, that that because it is not easy to come to this situation in us, because they are all in the Vedas, it is also Vedic, you can't ignore that, but it is not in the Upanishads, it is in the Vedas. In the Kamya Karma and prescribed duties and their fruitive activities, they are all in the Vedas. So all these things people get misled by that, because there was not enough Brahmajityasa in them. So Narada Maharshi told Vedavyasa Maharshi that this thing should not happen while writing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first warning he gave to Vedavyasa. He gave this to Vedavyasa Maharshi. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Brahma Jityasa, isn't it? It talks about Brahma Jityasa. Then, so, but unfortunately, Srimad Bhagavatam has become sometimes, most lot of times now, that many people think if we can use Srimad Bhagavatam to make money, it's not a bad thing. A lot of people do that. And that is wrong, because that is not accepted by Vedavyasa or Srinarada Maharshi. They have said that. That you can enjoy, you can accept in these things, certain things in this world, based on certain, what is according to Dharma, what is allotted to you, what's allotted to you. And there is a difficulty there. If everything, for example, if you start using Srimad Bhagavatam to make money or to make a living, that is condemned. And unfortunately, it happens a lot in these days. That when we have Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and encouraging people in the path of karma. That is not what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. Srimad Bhagavatam is trying to get us out of this entanglement with the karma. But instead, if you use Bhagavatam to encourage people to absorb in karma, that is not a good thing. So, Krishna says there that dharmam, based on dharmam, one can acquire wealth in this world, only based on dharma. Now, the question will come, what is that dharma, isn't it? If you want to find an answer for that question, you have to go to Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita talks about these things. There are two verses in the second chapter. If you look in the second chapter, Raga Dvesha Mukta Istu Vishayan Indriyascharan Atmavashyer Vidheyalma Prasadam Adhigacchati Prasade Sarvadukhanam Hanirasya Bajayade Prasanno Chedaso Hyashu Buddhurupayavadishtade. These two verses in the Bhagavad Gita is referring to this. What is this talking about? Let's look at that. Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan. Then, whatever sense gratification, whatever sense enjoyment you receive in this world, according to your prarabdha, that is the most important thing. According to your prarabdha, whatever happiness you receive in this world, you are entitled to have it. You should not go out of the way to acquire sense gratification. This is what it means. Dharma means dharmikam. Acquiring wealth in the dharmic way is that whatever comes according to your prarabdham, that you are allowed to accept. But beyond that, what Krishna is saying here is that what comes like that, not to think whether I should accept it or not, accept it as Krishna's prasadam. That's what those verses are talking about. Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyascharan atma vashyer vidheyalma prasadam adhigacchati. Unless you see this as Krishna's prasadam, everything that comes to life, comes in life based on prarabdham, whatever comes in life, you accept it as prasadam adhigacchati, it will become Krishna's prasadam. One has to feel it. Prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyova jayade. Prasadam is not only the food that is offered to Krishna. Everything what we get in this world, one has to accept it as Krishna's prasadam. Good and bad, both are Krishna's prasadam. It is Krishna's prasadam that purifies us. We agree with that, isn't it? Prasadam is for purification. We think only if we eat a lot of Krishna's, what has been offered to Krishna will get purified. Somehow or the other, that is our misconception in our head. But for devotees, it is not the food that purifies them. Whatever distress what Krishna is giving, that is Krishna's prasadam for them.
That's what they say, he's purified us. Not only prasadam what we have eaten, otherwise we would all be purified by now. The amount of pure prasadam we have eaten, isn't it? Think about that. What actually purifies us is not that Mahaprasadam straight from the plate or from the deity room, managed to get the whole thing home and thinking that I was completely purified now by eating all the Mahaprasadam without giving to anyone, I ate the whole thing. So I must be the most pure person in this temple. If you start thinking like that, then that's the end of the spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying there. Rāga dvesha vimukta istu, that is, viṣayān indriyāścaran, ātmavaśyer vidheyātma, prasādam adhigacchati. Prasādam will come, whatever Krishna gives in this life to us. Based on our prarabdham, Krishna is giving us sometimes happiness, sometimes a lot of distress. Lot of distress in this life. Every time Krishna gives us distress, we have to take it, Krishna's prasādam has come to us. If you are prepared to do that, Krishna says, you are living in the dharma, living in dharma. Otherwise not. So, therefore, these verses in the Bhagavad Gita has to be understood. Otherwise, we will just read it and think that, this is related to me. I am a devotee. I know everything. What Krishna is doing is all, according to Krishna, is helping me all the time, what I want and everything what goes on in my life. And if something goes wrong, then you say, oh, Krishna is not happy with me. But devotees say, Krishna is happy with me, that's why they have given me this. Krishna has given me this. So, prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyama jayate. When prasadam keeps coming like this from Krishna, in different forms, great, great devotees, if you look into their life, you will see how much distress they went through. At different times in their life, always distress. And that is what is, because they are seen to accept everything as Krishna's prasadam. That is Krishna's prasadam. That is the way they have seen it. We have two great devotees in Maharashtra. You may have heard about them, I have spoken also a little bit about them. Ekanath and Tukaram. Both were great personalities. Now, both were married householders. They had their wives. They were both so advanced in spiritual life as devotees that Tukaram's wife was always a headache. Never helped Tukaram in anything. On the other hand, constantly, like Socrates had a wife, in the same situation with Tukaram also. Socrates' wife was completely against Socrates' philosophy, wasn't it? We talked about Socrates' life when we talked about Bhagavad Gita, about self-realization. Socrates was such a personality that he has learned to accept everything what came from his wife. When every time Socrates was talking about self-realization, many people used to come to listen to him and his realizations. And his wife used to shout at him that he's not doing anything at home, simply talking all this big philosophy. As far as she is concerned, it's all waste of time. So she could not appreciate, and she saw in everything what Socrates did, everything was wrong for her. So what did she do? One day, she could not bear it anymore. So she shouted a lot at Socrates, and then Socrates was so transcendental, unaffected by anything, continued discussing with the devotees or the disciples who were present there. And eventually what happened was that the wife could not bear it anymore. She brought a bucket of water and threw the whole thing on his head, Socrates' head. Socrates looked and smiled and said, up to this there was thunder, now it started raining heavily. Very peacefully, absolutely unaffected by anything. They used to say about Socrates that he was a realized soul. He had that strength in him not to get disturbed over all these kind of things. So similarly, our Tukaram's wife was also the similar nature. And Tukaram's wife gave so much trouble to Tukaram. Tukaram will never disturb. All kinds of problems she will create at home. But Tukaram, totally unaffected by everything. Never once complained to Krishna about the wife. Not once. On the other hand, if you take Ekanath's wife, as good a devotee as Ekanath was. As good a devotee Ekanath was. And under no circumstances Ekanath had any complaint about his wife.
because she was always more supportive to Ekanath than he could even imagine from someone to happen. So what you are trying to say is that Ekanath and Tukaram, both Krishna's devotees, whether when Krishna has given a good wife to Ekanath, Ekanath thought this is Krishna's prasadam. When Tukaram got a wife which was not very favorable in Krishna consciousness, Tukaram says that's also Krishna's prasadam. You see? So Krishna prasadam means everything that we are getting in this world. When everyone yells at you, and whenever, that is also Krishna's prasadam. So if that way Krishna prasadam is coming all the time, and that is what it is said here, that the Ragadve, and that is living in that way with that Prarabdha Karmam is coming as Krishna Prasadam, because Prarabdham, who created? Krishna has created. We didn't create that. The Krishna is behind it. This law of Krishna has set it up that we should get absorbed in this Prarabdha Karmam Krishna. So that is Krishna's Prasadam. It is Krishna's decision. Not that we wanted it. Krishna wanted it that way. So that's also, anything what Krishna wants is Krishna's Prasadam. So that way Krishna is presented. If this has happened, then what will happen is prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyoba jayate. What will happen is that our distress will go away from us. And what will happen? The result will be chitta prasadam. Chitta prasadam means that this Brahma jityasa will come at that point. Otherwise, Brahma jityasa won't come. It is not easy for Brahma jityasa to come inside. This is what we were talking earlier, that how when we see the miseries of the material world, how it affects us. And this is that process what is discussed here. That through that distresses, we come to this point of understanding that the truth is something different than all these things. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, in the very beginning of the first canto, in the second chapter, where Sudha Goswami says to Shravanagrahi, evam prasanna manaso, evam prasanna manaso bhagaval tattva bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam tattva sangasya jayate. There is a verse like that. If you can look at that in the second chapter, Sudha Goswami is saying that evam prasanna manaso, the mind becomes very prasanna. Prasanna means is very happy. Happiness or distress, whatever Krishna is giving is prasadam. If you start seeing like that, what will happen? The mind will become very peaceful and happy. Unfortunately, we have not trained our mind in that way to accept anything in this world as prasadam. We have only limited our prasadam to the kachoris and samosas. So it is staying like that. So that is not Krishna's prasadam. This is what, this change is necessary to happen in us. Because this is not changing, our spiritual life is also like this, wobbly, always. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogadaha. That bhagavad bhakti, Krishna consciousness will come. Then what will happen? Bhagavad tattva vijnanam. Then you will start inquiring the truth after this. Mukta sangasya jayate. That you will become free from all attachments and mukti or liberation will come at that time in a natural way. So, what Srimad Bhagavatam has done is in the very beginning, Vedavyas through Sudha Goswami and Shravanagrahi put forward all the principles of spiritual life in that second chapter. That's what you find there. He has put all the principles down, and as you go through Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that those principles, what was spoken in the second chapter, is being expanded and explained in a much more detailed way later on. That's all it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what you find there. Then it is only when this happens that the inquiry will start. What is that inquiry? Inquiry is this, that is there a God? Is there God existing? And what is this world? Who am I? What's my connection with this world? What's my connection with the God? And what is Shastra? What does Shastra say? All these questions has to come first. Because if there is no question, there is no answer also, isn't it? Only from the questions. This is why all our Shastram is written like question-answer. Have you noticed that? Throughout Bhagavatam you will find, even Bhagavad Gita take for example. Why? It's a question-answer, isn't it? Arjuna asking question, Krishna answering to those questions.
Similarly, Sudha, Shavanaka Rishi, Vedavyas, Narada Maharshi, Brahma, Narada Maharshi, Vidura, Maitreya, Parishad, Sudha Goswami. Throughout you can see questions and answers, questions and answers. Why? Evam prasanna manaso bhagaval bhakti yogada bhagaval tattva vijnanam ukta sangasya jayate. So there is a gradual process by which one can come to this platform of self-realization. That is what Krishna is talking about in these verses. That all these questions will develop inside. And once they start developing, that is called Shraddha, seriousness. Otherwise there is no seriousness. Anything that is imposed from outside will only last for some time. Anything that has come from inside will stay forever. Because that is so powerful, because it's come from inside. Once that, see, from outside, so many people will tell you so many things, and you will hear, and sometimes 80% goes through the other one, 20% whatever has stayed, you may think about it and reject it as impractical. Ekadasha Skandam is very easy to reject, isn't it? Because you can see that, but if you don't subject that to scrutiny inside, you do not stay, it will go. So that's why Krishna is saying, make it your own realization, all what is spoken. Otherwise it has no value. Krishna can only give us the truth. Who else will tell us these things except Krishna? Who will talk to us about self-realization except Krishna? Who will talk to us about Maya? Who will talk to us about us, what we are, except Krishna? Who else will tell us? So Krishna has done everything from his side to make it our own realization is our responsibility. And therefore, Ekadasha Skandam while studying, we must read through it, think about it, study it, meditate on that, analyze it, and debate over it and discuss it and make that our own realization at some point. It has to happen in a gradual way. And that is why what is discussed in the next verse. Acharya, acharyorani radhyasyal, andayavas uttararani, tal sandhanam pravachanam, vidhyasandhi sukhavaha. It's a very famous verse. Ajaryavaraniyadhyasyal andevasi uttararani talsandhanam pravachanam vidyasandhi sukhavaha. Acharya and the disciple, the spiritual master and the disciple, what are they like? That's what is talked about in this verse. Ajaryavaraniyadhyasyal andevasi uttararani. Arani is a thing which is used for generating fire in sacrifices. If you go to different sacrifices, it is still done. In India, many places, whenever sacrifice happens, you cannot use matchbox or 93 octane petrol or anything. That's not allowed. You have to create fire for the sacrifice pure. That's considered to be pure. And the wood that is used for is called arani, arani wood. There are two pieces of wood, and one at the bottom, one at the top. And the people who are engaged in the performing the sacrifice, who have lived through their proper rules and regulations for the particular amount of time, what they'll do, these two pieces of wood, they will rub each other, one at the top and one at the bottom. Simply rubbing through that, sparks will develop from that. So that's the nature of that arani wood, arani wood it's called. So here, it is compared here, Acharyorani Adhyasyal Andevas Uttararani. There is an arani there at the bottom, which is the acharya. Andevasi uttararani, the disciple or the student who had come, is the top arani. Acharya is the bottom arani. When they start rubbing each other from that, what he says here, tal sandhanam pravachanam vidyasanti sukhavaham. Then, when they start rubbing each other, these two pieces of wood, arani wood, when the two pieces of arani wood start rubbing each other, fire will come out. Similarly, when the acharya and the disciple, or the spiritual master and the disciple, when they start rubbing each other, there will be the fire of knowledge will come from there. The fire of knowledge will come out from there. So that's why it said there that atal sandhanam pravachanam vidyasandhi sukhavaham. That only by the relation, only by this rubbing, this friction between the Purvarani and Uttararani, that means the Acharya and the disciple, only if they had very close relationship and they had mutually discussed the Shastra well, only then the knowledge will come out of it. Otherwise it won't happen. It's not possible. Spiritual master sitting 10,000 miles away, disciple sitting here, and what will happen? Email friction will happen. That's what will happen. That won't help. Email friction doesn't create fire. This is Shastram. Shastram, you can't change it. You got to accept it or you have to leave it. So, Acharyorani Adhyasya Andeva Suttararani Tal Sandhanam Pravajanam Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha. Krishna's words, you can't alter it. You have to either accept it or you have to leave it. Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha Tal Sandhanam Pravajanam. That Tal Sandhanam Pravajanam is important because it's from that the knowledge is coming. Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha. And otherwise, it is for this reason only that in the beginning it was spoken that Acharya, the Purvarani, has to be free, completely realized soul. He cannot have even a slightest material desire or any desire for any attraction in this world. And if a disciple who comes also has got similar attraction to the world, what will happen from that friction? Instead of the knowledge, fire of knowledge, more fire of sense gratification will come from that. That's what will come out of it. It's not fire of knowledge that will come, rather fire of sense gratification will come from that. This is why Shastram and all, you cannot play with it. It's Krishna's words and it stays as it is, it will stay forever. Ekadasha Skandam is still the whole creation and has to follow Ekadasham for self-realization process. Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam and all, you can interpret whichever way you like, but Krishna's words are absolute. Krishna is saying here, Acharyorani Adhyasyal Andeva Suttararani Tal Sandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasanti Sukhavaha. Only then the knowledge, fire of knowledge will be light in there. Only then it will burn. And when that burning happens, what will happen? It will lighten the fire inside the disciple's heart. It's not otherwise, it's not going to be lightened. It's not going to be, it's not going to fire inside. Tal Sandhanam Pravachanam Vidyasanti Sukhavaha. And then that realization, this is necessary in the process of spiritual life. This is how it works. That's what Krishna is explaining there. So, we'll stop there. We'll continue on the 29th of March. Next three Sundays, we won't have any Bhagavatam classes, I'm away. So, after that, hopefully we'll continue on the 29th of March. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.